my great pleasure to have on the line Meet Treadwell, who's a candidate for governor of the state of Alaska and will be on the August 2018 Republican primary ballot. Welcome, Meade.
Thanks, Mike. It's nice to be with you on Radio Free Palmer.
Our theme for this interview runs this way. The faster things change, the harder it seems to adjust to the change, or so that seems. So I'm going to begin with a series of six questions. The first one, in Alaska, Native elders are saying our traditional knowledge is no longer reliable. Describe how you think this observation applies to politics in Alaska.
Well, Mike, I've got two answers there. The first thing I have to say is that I know many traditional many Alaska Native elders whose traditional knowledge is actually very reliable.
Okay.
I was chair of the U.S. Arctic Research Commission under President Bush. And early in the Bush administration, we had the scientists saying that the whale count was going down. We brought traditional knowledge in, and traditional knowledge helped us understand the whale population was healthy and allowed whaling to continue on the North Slope. We used traditional knowledge to help understand better what's happened to caribou on the North Slope. I can tell you there's a whole lot of traditional knowledge and wisdom there, and if traditional knowledge is no longer reliable in terms of weather, let's make sure that we've got ways to protect our villages out west, and let's make sure that that Russia doesn't have a monopoly on shipping. So anyway, I guess I'll say in politics, sometimes things change. Winston Churchill used to say about Americans, we do the right thing after we've exhausted the other possibilities.
Okay, well, thank you. Question number two. In your life to date, how have you managed adapting to change?
When times get tough in our family, we do everything we can to pull together. I lost my dad when I was 15. I was with him one day. He was cutting the ribbon at a fire station. He was the mayor of Newtown, Connecticut, and we were at the Sandy Hook Fire Department's new substation. The next day, those guys were there trying to pull him out of our house before he died of asphyxiation. The rest of us got out of our house in a fire. We lost our house. We ended up living in a cabin with only a fireplace, you know, a coal-fired fireplace and no hot water on the property through the winter. And we adapted to change then as a family by working together. I wish we could have been more supportive of Mom. Frankly, we were three teenage boys who, you know, sometimes would squabble. I then went through a similar tragedy that played out over 2 years. I lost my wife to a brain tumor, and she left me a kindergartner, a first grader, and a fifth grader, and a minivan. And while that minivan went to scouts and volleyball practice and all those things, we made sure it went to a similar small-sized cabin. And the family spent many winters together skiing, and we just had to hang together as a family to go through that awful change. And when we go through big changes in Alaska, and it could be fish not returning in our rivers, it could be a giant change in oil prices. My motto really is to pull the family together. Don't circle the wagons and shoot each other. Circle the wagons and figure out how we're going to get through this crisis, because this crisis will pass us by. Whatever the crisis is, if we work together.
Okay. Thank you very much for sharing that. Question number three, if you consider yourself a conservative, describe the best qualities and achievements of liberals with whom you have worked or vice versa.
Oh, my gosh. I saw that question before, Chris, and I'll put it this way. I think, first off, my own personal philosophy is you can disagree with somebody without being disagreeable. If you are fervent on a particular position, the worst thing you can do is quit. And I'm running against somebody who left the Senate, but I'm here to talk about positive things, so I won't dwell on that. When I've worked with people on the opposite side of the aisle, what I usually find is that we agree on goals. We want people to have better economic opportunity. We want people to, protect the environment. And what I try to do is sit with folks and see what we can do that that brings our principles together because we have common goals. And the other thing I found, I first happened after Exxon Valdez. I was Deputy Commissioner of Environmental Conservation. And we needed new environmental regulation to prevent oil spills, and sometimes I had to work with people on the left to make that happen. We needed to solve a problem with huge unpaid oil tax bills in the Hickel administration, and again, that's something where we worked across the aisle to do that. So some of the liberals I know credit for helping to establish environmental rules in this country, and I hope they give me credit for saying I want to protect the environment and let's try to do it in such a way that doesn't crush business, doesn't set up regulations for the benefit of people in government, but basically for the benefit of nature.
Okay, well, thank you. Question number 4. As a candidate for governor, do you believe that the way the people's business is conducted needs to change? And if so, describe a specific way that change can be achieved.
Well, first off, I believe transparency is very important. I believe transparency is important when you've got fewer fish in the river and you've got commercial fishermen and sport fishermen and subsistence users not knowing how the decisions are being made. I believe it's very important that we be honest with each other, more honest with each other. I think when you have a situation where tax rates are going down and you've got to solve a budget crisis, you put the numbers out and try to stipulate to the numbers and what's really there. I think it's important, and we have to change the way that Alaska's government is trusted by its people. You have a situation where Bill Walker's veto of the PFD happened with virtually no debate. You have a situation where he invited and Alaskans lost trust in their governor and their government. You have a situation where we did not pay the oil tax incentives on the North Slope, and many people felt they disagreed with that, but the fact is Alaska has to keep its word. So the changes I want to make are transparency, involving all people in the discussion, and keeping our trust and keeping our word. And those things are very important. If you lose people's trust because you don't keep your word, it's much, much harder to get back and work together on the things where we all have to work together.
Question number 5. The discussion about the budget has taken up most of the past legislative session. If further cuts in expenditures are to be done, describe specifically what those cuts should be, and also what impact the cuts will have, and if additional revenues are to be added, also specifically describe them and their impact.
And you want me to do this on the radio in 30 seconds?
No. You can take more than 30 seconds.
Yeah, I'm joking. Hey, I've called Mike for 2 major changes in the way we're doing our budgeting. I believe we should go to cash-based forward budgeting and take a little bit of the fortune-telling out of the budget process. Right now, we are hiring economists who give us their best guess of how much oil production we'll have over the next 15 months when we write the budget and how much money we'll get for that oil because they've got to guess oil prices. We have enough savings to actually change our budget system to be able to say, okay, the cap on our spending is what we collected last year rather than what we think we're going to make in the next year and a half. That's number one. Number 2, I think we have to make our budget work on inputs and outputs. And there's been a lot of discussion and efforts in the past on, what's the merit of a particular government program. And I guess I'd say this in business. The old joke is that advertising works, half of advertising works, but we don't know which half. We have an education department that's supposed to educate our kids, and only 76% of our kids graduate from high school. We have a corrections department that's supposed to take criminals, put them in a safe place, safe for us and safe for them, and correct them, and it's not correcting. We have a social services budget that's supposed to make Alaskans healthier, and I'm not sure we're much healthier. And we have the highest medical costs in the world. So for each of those programs, and they're very complex programs, I wouldn't propose a chainsaw to any of them. I would say we've got to go through each of the programs within those three departments with a fine-tooth comb and figure out what works and keep that, and what doesn't work and prune that. And you and I would do the same thing in our garden. So those are the three biggest growth areas that I'm aware of, certainly the three biggest general fund areas in our state budget. And I can't just say I'm going to cut one or raise one. I'm going to say, when this one grows so fast, why is it growing so fast? What controls did we put in place? What paperwork did we put on people, certainly in the healthcare business, that has diverted doctors' time and nurses' time, caregivers' time away from quality? When a senior caregiver comes to me in the campaign and says, I don't know why I can't get paid until somebody from the health department shows up to make sure that the person I'm caring for still has Alzheimer's, at 92 years old, we're paying somebody to go out and do work that probably can be pretty well verified by a doctor's statement or something else along those lines. I tell the story of going to take my son for an x-ray, and they wouldn't give him an x-ray until he had signed a living will for that 2.5 seconds in the x-ray. We have built up things in our healthcare department that are raising costs for all of us. And I don't think we need to spend money on this when we take money away from quality. So we're going to work in those three areas of the budget most effectively. I would say in protecting ourselves against crime, I do want to see the courts work on Fridays. I do want to see more troopers. I do want to see much stronger cooperation with the federal government. And, I don't know what costs we can cut there, but I do know that we've got to do a better job there. On the cut side, I will say this. Governor Walker promised us when Medicaid expanded, it was going to cost $50 million. His estimate was wrong by a factor of almost 3. It's cost $140 million a year in state funds at this point. You have people who were being cared for by the budget out of veterans care, or the budget out of Native health care, where now the state is the first payer. And I think we've got to get those three players together at least and see what we can do to make sure that we all fulfill our responsibilities and just don't pass the buck on to the state.
Okay, thank you. Question number 6. How do you factor polling of citizens' views about issues outside of an election campaign season? For example, if a ballot initiative were to pass concerning an issue you personally did not support, what would you do?
Well, as governor, I would follow the Constitution and the law, and if a law passes that I don't support, I would implement the law as the Constitution requires. I can give you a couple of examples on that. I was lieutenant governor, and I was first to implement the process that said have a hearing around the state about initiatives before they happen. I think we could actually improve that process. Like, I believe Colorado and Montana have hearings before the language of the initiative is set in stone and before signatures are collected, so that people who are sponsoring initiatives can maybe do a better job hearing people's concerns before they have to vote something up or down. The second thing I did is, for example, on the marijuana initiative, I did not vote for legalization of marijuana, but now that it is the law, I want to make sure you've got a marijuana control board that's unbiased. I want to make sure that the industry is doing what it has to do to protect public health in terms of, one, meeting their own standards, and two, making sure that products are not getting into kids' hands, as an example. And we will support and effectively regulate that industry fairly. And, because that's what the Constitution says. There's times when I had to make decisions on things I didn't exactly support. I've been challenged by one of the other candidates for using due process and the rule of law when Governor Walker and Byron Mallott combined forces last time. I'm sorry, if you're running for office and you would rather set rule of law aside for political expediency, please don't run for office. And that's my same position on the Pebble Mine. If if you would take away their due process, as Mark Begich tried to when he was in the Senate and is now advocating in his governor's race, or as Bill Walker is advocating, I think a governor who would do that could take away your rights to free speech, your rights to property rights, your parental rights, your gun rights, and I just don't believe that's your job in government. You can advocate and try to win, and if you don't win, administer the law fairly and come on back for another day, for another chance.
Okay. Well, thank you for answering those six questions. Now is an opportunity for you to add some comments as we finish up this interview.
Well, thanks, Mike. You know, I'm in the race for governor because I believe that we should have a choice for Alaska and a choice for Alaska Republicans that is somebody with experience in making things work. I've started a lot of businesses. I've helped bring things to Alaska like missile defense, fighting to get our icebreakers as we open up the Arctic to preserve safety and food security, and also to make sure that Russia doesn't have a monopoly. It's not good for our national security, and frankly, Alaskans should get some of the jobs of that billion-dollar service-to-shipping market that's coming before us. I've worked hard to make us competitive in having education stronger and helping to build our university. I want to make sure that we get the land grant that our university was promised, frankly, when Abraham Lincoln signed the law on land grants to universities, and we became eligible for it in 1914. That still has never happened. We've got to build Alaska by building on our strengths. We've got to quit exporting jobs. You know, the businesses are not making the wrong decisions for them but we made the wrong decisions for ourselves when we set up the incentives. If all those wide-body jets leaving Anchorage are using jet fuel from Singapore, not shame on them, shame on us. Shame on us because they're sailing right past the Kenai refinery. We shut down the North Pole refinery. We hurt jobs on the Alaska Railroad. What do we do wrong? Likewise, if we get a timber sale going in South Central Alaska or the interior or southeast, I'd much rather export fiberboard or plywood or furniture than firewood. And, you know, it's great that we, you know, try to get an industry like that started sustainably, but let's try to get more jobs in Alaska. If we can get more jobs in Alaska, our kids will stay home, and we'll have a brighter future, and we'll be able to collect corporate tax income that will help balance the budget. So I'm running, one, to make sure Alaska keeps its promises, restore the trust with the people, restore trust with investors in Alaska and outside Alaska. We need to invest here for jobs. Two, I want to fight crime. I don't think we've done a good enough job on that. I don't think Alaskans know we're in the fight, and Alaskans are losing their lives. And three, I want to build the economy by getting more jobs here, quit exporting jobs. And with those three things, I think we can solve our budget crisis, work together, and be very, very happy with the place that we live and love.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mead Treadwell, candidate in the Republican primary on August 21st for governor. I appreciate your taking the time to thoughtfully answer these questions, and I hope you have a good day.
Hey, thank you very much, Mike, and thanks for the thoughtful questions.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.